and welcome to Unexplained Possibilities Podcast. I'm your host, Melvin the Crimson Taurus, and unfortunately, Niema can't be here with us today. She's doing her fashionista thing at school and, you know, getting something called an edumacation. Can't stand brainiacs, but good on her. However, as you guys already know, if I'm live doing a podcast, I'm not alone, and today is no exception. For this is a special show. The British aren't only coming, but they're here. All the way from across the pond are a couple of rockers turned possible future ghost hunters from Voodoo Vegas and Voodoo Rocks. Please welcome my friends Merrill and Lawrence.
We are live on the Information Super Highway Glorious Friday Tour. Hello, Mel. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. We are very good. We are good here on the south coast of England. How is California?
Beautiful. It was actually raining earlier today.
Oh, man.
But it cleared up. Beautiful blue skies, fluffy white clouds, warming up because it was much, much colder earlier. You guys probably would have felt like home.
Yeah. Well, when we were there, it was actually really nice weather, wasn't it?
It was there, yeah. But here, yeah, like, I know what you mean because the weather's rubbish here.
Yeah, so, and hello everyone in chat. Tez, welcome. Eddie, welcome. Barricles, welcome. And hello, Kitten. You know what? Since this is a special show, you guys get the good welcome. So let's see if I can still do it.
Welcome to Unexplained Possibilities.
Very good, Mel.
There we
go. That's amazing.
Very good, mate.
So, yeah, I gotta ask. Are you guys, or were you guys always believers, or did this change over time? What happened here?
I was always a believer. I actually believe in everything. So.
Okay, so you believe in that little alien behind you watching you.
Yeah, I do believe in aliens, and I just believe that anything's possible, really. So that's why I believe in everything.
What about you, Lawrence?
I don't know. Like, yes and no. I needed to. I think as we get deeper into this podcast about our ghost hunts, I will say how my mind has changed.
I've gone on a journey.
I thought sometimes it might be theater of the mind. Some of the stuff. For anyone experiencing it, maybe it could be theatre of the mind, especially if you're setting yourself up in a darkened room in the middle of night, you know, when it's windy and cold and scary, you know, naturally you're going to think you hear things. And so I thought some of it might have been a bit of theatre of the mind and there was no proof, in my opinion, but not that I was a skeptic. I just was I was open to anything. I just needed to have things happen.
I like to call it open-minded skepticism.
Yeah, totally. Definitely not shooting it down. Yeah. Just some experiences happening makes it.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Even though I've been doing Unexplained for a while and I have some weird, wacky beliefs, I am a skeptic first when it comes to quite a few things. A lot of people don't believe that, though, because I believe in a lot of wacky stuff. But I'm a skeptic first because you can't just rush in and say, oh, this is paranormal or supernatural or whatever. You just can't.
Yeah.
Because sometimes things are explainable. And, and you have to use a little bit of common sense. And a lot of times we get confused with what we want to believe and what's reality.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. I feel like, well, I definitely feel like that. Like, I think since this last few weeks journey we've been on, I've definitely been much more educated. So, but yeah, I'd like to believe in it. Maybe aliens. I maybe thought they existed, but again, no proof as such, you know.
Well, like I said, there's one behind you, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. More superheroes maybe and billionaires with gadgets. I'd like to believe they exist as well. Or wrestlers.
Well, I mean, those are titans in the square circle.
Believe in wrestlers.
That's WrestleMania weekend. He doesn't believe in wrestlers.
Exactly. Let me tell you something, gonna, brother.
If you're ever going to believe in wrestlers, this is the weekend.
Like they're mythical.
And for anyone in chat, if you have any questions or anything at all, feel free to ask them and I will relay them. And if you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe, hit the like button, or if you don't want to, you don't have to. That's fine, too. But we appreciate you being here, especially because I know you guys are British and it's late.
It's 11 o'clock at night here, Mel. We thought this was going to be 10 o'clock, but luckily I've just had a banana. So the slow release energy is going to carry me all the way through this podcast.
Okay, I hope so.
We're ready. We're ready. If anyone watches me from the DSB show, they know bananas are the cure for anything.
You see, I had a potato salad, so I don't know what that's going to do for me.
Give you the farts.
Oh, gosh, Meryl, you went there. Okay, I think we just learned something new about you here.
Well, someone had to say it.
And hello, Stephanie from the Cauldron Witch. For those of you who don't know, Stephanie, she doesn't like being called this, but she is a psychic. She's a witch. She has her own channel from the Cauldron Witch. She talks about Lollipops to Die For, talks about true crime stuff, just freaky mess. So definitely check her out if you're into all of this. She's really cool, really, really sweet.
Hello.
She'll curse you out though.
Hello to Kaylee as well, who's watching on Facebook as well.
Hello
from Don't Stop Believing.
From Don't Stop Kaylee. Believing.
Yes.
Hello, I'll give you the half hello since you're not on YouTube. You'll just get the hello.
Hello, Kaylee.
Okay, so you mentioned that, or not that you mentioned, but you went to some haunted locations. Shepton Mallet and Dorchester prisons, to be exact, right?
Yes. Yes.
And yeah.
I did a little research on them because I was in the dark here. I was like, what the heck are these places? And they're both prisons. They're both in the UK, of course. And they're both proclaiming to be the most haunted places, the most haunted prisons in the world, which I think is interesting. We're not going to... Well, don't give your answer on which one you think is more haunted yet.
I'm not. We're going to start up our own ghost tour soon. Oh, and this is our most haunted house in all of England right now.
We've just decided.
Yeah, just decided.
I think it's a marketing ploy.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, they're just going to say, yeah, just say we're the most haunted and come here. But when I was doing the research, both of them, they do have very similar things happening. Although... I cannot say that name.
Dorchester.
Dorchester. Like, seriously, come on, man. Get modern, not these 1800 European names. Like, darn it. Should be called, like, I don't know, George Prison. There we go.
George Prison.
George Prison. So
everyone called George goes there.
So Dorchester, I thought was interesting because they have a little bit extra. They said that they have a pond or some type of flowing water there where escapees would actually drown in. And some locals have reported hearing the movement of chains and things of that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, and it's built on a castle as well.
Yeah. Built on the castle from the 1100s.
Yeah.
So very interesting. A lot of history there, a lot of death. And here's something that you might find interesting. Since it is a body of water there, that's a good conductor for communication with the beyond, we'll say.
Well, what did we took with us for communication, didn't we? We took
clear quartz.
I wore the clear quartz because you recommended clear quartz, Mel, and we took some copper as well. And our friend John and Roxy, who came with us on the Shepton Mallet one, they bought some as well for our first ghost hunt. So I think basically we've had interactions. Anyone's new here, we've had interactions with Mel for about 2-3 years, haven't we, Mel?
Yeah.
And all the unexplained paranormal things have, you know, most of my interactions have been through Mel. When we did the unexplained side of the slam on Ministry of Slam, wasn't it? We were doing that sort of thing. And I always remember saying to you, Mel, like, I'd love to go on a ghost hunt. And then I, you know, we've had this plan for a long time where we would go on a ghost hunt. We then would come on to Unexplained to then talk about it. And we managed to do two in a row, didn't we?
Because the first one was so insightful and interesting. We just felt like, oh, we want to do it again.
Very addictive. Very addictive.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's almost like sometimes with spirit boards. Once you do it and you get contact, you just got to keep going. Not that I recommend you do that. Nice. So, out of curiosity, are you going to go to more haunted locations?
Well, I was looking online already for ones later, because of course we're busy with the show we do, so it's got some dates clash because you can't go to them all the time, these ghost walks. But there are some possibilities later on in the year. Definitely want to do some more, because but also, like we're saying, because we're playing a theatre show called Don't Stop Believing. Some of them are really old theatres that are like 200 years old. So I'm going to get a K2 meter, which is one of the readers we had on the tour, on the ghost walk, to take to some of these old theatres and see before the show. See if I find any ghosts and charge them for a ticket.
Okay, so let's jump into it. So Shepton Mallet, we'll start with that one first. How did you find out about the place, and like what just made you say, okay, we're doing this, period. We're doing it, and it's happening.
Well, there was, I don't know if you know, there's a TV program over here called Most Haunted. Mm-hmm. And do you know it?
Is it Most Haunted Unseen?
I don't know, but that, maybe that's a spin-off.
Well, I know Most Haunted.
It's got a lady called Yvette Fielding who's the main host of it. And we were hunting around for ghost walks to do. And Most Haunted, the TV program, run ghost walks around all around the UK, actually. Mm-hmm. So, we were originally going to go to the Dorchester one first, and then we had some date clashes. So we ended up going to Shepton Mallet. We were going to go to Dorchester with John and Roxy, but we went to Shepton Mallet with John and Roxy because that's the date sort. So we went there first because it just worked out with the dates. And it was about an hour away from our house, hour and 15 minutes. So that's why we went to that one. It wasn't any particular reason of any ghosts that might be there or any stories. It was just because it was quite close and the dates worked.
I mean, if it works, it works. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. So take us through your time there.
We were in a room at one point with a group of people and but the leader person in charge.
Sharon,
yeah, for most
Sharon. Sharon and Pierce run the tour.
they're
the people who are in charge of the tour.
Yeah, that's right. And we're in a dark room. And then Sharon would ask, like, oh, you know, call out, is there anyone here? And do two knocks for yes or one knock for no. And then, we heard two knocks. And then she just kept asking it questions and it just kept answering. And once she asked how many people are in the room, and it actually knocked out the correct amount of people, didn't
it? That was the governor's room. That was just outside the governor's office in the prison. So he must have had a reception to his governor's office, original governor's office, and they said they used to allow people into the governor's actual office. So that was very supposed to be very haunted in Shepton Mallet, but classic English people go stealing all his stuff. So they locked that off and you could go into, you could only go like in the reception of the governor's office. There was all these knocks. It was really exciting. That was the first time we actually got, because you've seen the TV programs where you get in the knocking, the one knock for yes, no, one for yes, two for no. No, what, two for yes, one for no.
I think so, yeah.
Can't remember. So. And she also had these cat balls mail that are like just cat toys, and that if you come close, anything touches them, they light up.
You have to touch
them. You have to touch them to light up. And everybody had K2 meters as well. So not everyone, there was like four or five within the group, like electromagnetic readers with a sliding bar that would go up if something electric. You know, we all had to turn our phones off or put them in airplane mode.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they turned the electricity off and everything, so it wasn't... It was
10 o'clock at night, okay. So it's dark, pitch black, no light at all.
Yeah, these are abandoned buildings as well, so...
Yeah, completely abandoned. Yeah. They've been in prisons for years. I think Shepton Mallet closes the prison in 2013.
Yeah, 2013.
So roughly the same time as Dorchester. Both of them closed at the same time-ish.
Yeah, and Dorchester was 2014, so...
And, okay.
Yeah. Get funding from the Tory party closing the prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. And yeah, and one time we were in the morgue of the prison, and
you're jumping ahead to lots of things, Mary. You're really
jumping
around from the whole story. That was one of the last things we did.
My memory of the order of things is terrible. You say.
So we did the governors. That was when we were the big group of 11 people were there, and that was when they're doing the knocks, wasn't it? And then some people, we did a Ouija board in the room, but some people didn't want to get involved in that, did they? I don't want to touch the Ouija board.
I don't blame you.
We just watched it.
And a lot of people were feeling the cold on their legs and things like that as well, weren't they? And
I got pins and needles on both my legs, which was weird because I wasn't sitting funny. I was just standing up. And I don't normally get pins and needles on my legs just from standing. And then the pins and needles stopped when the Ouija board stopped. So I wonder if that was linked.
It felt a bit odd at the start calling out to just an empty room for me. I was like, this is a bit weird. Hello, is anyone here? Yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it? I felt.
Yeah, it is. It's something that you have to get used to. And with the Ouija board, yeah, you're probably smart not touching it. I mean, the thing with spirit boards, it's the mindset, you know, and you have to have confidence in yourself and control. And if you don't have that, then if something comes through, they're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It's a control thing. So if you weren't confident and not really knowing what you were trying to speak to, it's best to just leave it to someone else who knows. And real quick, I just want to say hello, Kelvin, and hello, Simona. Welcome. Thank you guys for joining. Appreciate it. And Tez, so you can know, Stephanie is a scream queen. So you might want to see if you could get her on Ministry of Horror. So, yeah. You know, wink, wink. Well, anyway,
the interesting thing for the first, what happened in the governor's room, Mel, was that the ghost or spirit or energy was only talking to the ladies who were asking questions. Wouldn't respond to any men questions.
What wing was it that you were doing that in? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. A or B wing. I can tell you,
yeah,
man.
I can't remember.
It's such a huge prison. Okay. The walls were 75 foot high. That was interesting alone, just walking around a prison.
Yeah, well, it's history there. Yeah. A lot of history. But I was reading that the C wing, where the women were housed, was the most haunted part of it. And so the fact that they were responding to only the women, well, maybe it was the men. Maybe they're like, hey, look at this sweet thing, you know. So maybe that's what was going on there.
Then maybe we get into a few of the big wings of the prison with all the cells, didn't we? And then
and went to the bit where people got hanged.
Yeah, we went to the hanging. Well, in Shepton Manor, we did go to the hanging section where there's actually like a floor where people would get hanged and fall through. Oof. And that was one where everyone was standing in a circle around, mm-hmm. and we put their cat balls in the middle of the hanging floor, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they were going off, weren't they?
We were asking questions. It was lighting up. The
only thing I found, my knee knocked, and everyone thought it was a ghost. On that one.
Yeah, that's the problem. Everyone, you see, and that's one of the issues with going as a group.
Yeah.
Because tensions are high and every little thing, it's a ghost, that, you know, and it's like, no, yeah. You got to cut that out. You have to stay calm and try and figure it out. And that's what folks, sometimes they just don't know. But that's also...
It's definitely my knee, because I felt I did, you know, it knocked it out, you know, and then everyone, I was a ghost. And then the thing I found that my knee knocked, I didn't say it was my knee, not I was trying to fool anyone, my knee just knocked. And and then the whole room started hearing ghosts all the time. I was like, but it was still quite a like exhilarating experience. And I was feeling on this part, the Shepton Mallet one, is a lot of this theatre of the mind. While this was happening in the hanging room, they tried to do a glass on the table where everyone, like I think Roxy, who was with us, she got involved in that, put a finger on the glass, and then the glass would see if we could get the spirit to move the glass.
Mm-hmm. And it did.
With the ball underneath, cat ball underneath, and it was moving. While that was happening, some of the ladies in the group walked off and they'd done a whistle. And they thought they heard it back, the whistle.
They ran back
thinking they heard the whistle back, yeah, which was quite interesting.
That's interesting. But yeah, a lot of it, it's the mind. And
yes.
You have to, you just have to use discernment. Oh gosh, I sound like Melinda. You guys don't know who Melinda is, and it's a good thing. But you have to use your discernment to sort of distinguish, and you just can't say everything. Well, it's like being, again, going back to skepticism and being open-minded but still having that skepticism. And
yeah,
and that's why sometimes I don't like group things, because it's just the power of suggestion and influence. It's so huge as a group.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, everyone is saying, like, I heard this and this is what it was. And you're the only one saying, no, it's not. But then you start thinking, like, well, maybe it was. Maybe I'm the crazy one.
I do feel like, though, when we were in the governor's reception, the knocking was a real knocking that was happening. I don't feel like there was anyone there. Mm-hmm. Although it was raining and it was windy, so the soffits and fascias and gutters could have been cracking. I'm just looking for what it could be. You know, it's windy, it's cold, the plastic or the gutters could be cracking. It's an old building. But I did feel like the knocks, especially knocks like that, they were responses to questions. And then the theatre of the mind thing, while the people were in the hanging room, I walked off into one of the whole prison blocks by myself, completely dark. I had no light, no torch on. And it was just so overwhelming. The like, I'm in this prison at 12:30 at night, it's pitch black. They say it's haunted. Is anything going to happen? I was very open-minded to something happened. Nothing happened, but it just felt like, whoa. So this is just very intense. Another thing that happened, we went off with John and Roxy into one of the cells and we put the cat balls either end of the cell and we were just asking questions. Both the cat balls started going off. Yeah. By themselves, which is quite interesting.
That sends a chill down your spine.
Ooh. Not so much, not for me.
It's funny because I thought I'd be really scared if anything happened, but as and when things did happen, I actually was never scared really. But I feel like maybe it felt like because of safety in numbers, because we were usually in a big group of people, so kind of made it feel safe in a way.
That makes sense. I get that. And then, you know, you can always toss the weakest one to the front and run away. So
From the Colden Witch says she likes us too, because we debunk our own ghost hunting. Like, this was our first experience of going on a ghost hunt. So it wasn't like we did this all the time. So we were just going to sort of experience it. And I was just very open-minded to what it could possibly also be, whether it was, this was the first prison, the second prison. Now that's a good different story, completely.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a second. And hello, Care Bear Bard of Cards. What a name. I like that. Welcome. I don't think I've seen you before, so welcome. Thank you for stopping by, hanging out with us. Appreciate it. And okay, so yeah, the little cat ball thing. So yeah, they work by electricity, and you do have to physically touch it. I'm sure they showed you an example of that. I think they're called REM pods, or at least that's what it's a type of thing it is. And with that, like, did you get specific responses to your questions, or they would just light up? Like, you never got you'll ask, if there's a male here, can you light it up? Doesn't happen. Is there a female here? Light it up. Can you light it up? They touch it and it lights up, like specific like that, or they just lit up on their own whenever.
It was specific questions, wasn't it? They weren't just lighting up, I don't think. Yes, we were asking things.
It would light up if we were asking questions, yes, I think. But we were asking, are you male? But I think when we're in that cell, when it was just John, me, Roxy and Meryl, it wasn't specific questions. They were just lighting off. And then Sharon came, we run the tour, and she came up to ask some questions. It was just, they were just going off. It wasn't specific. Oh, okay. And I didn't really feel like there was a presence myself there when that was happening. It was just going off. I think, well, we'll get into it, because I had such a stronger feeling from the second one tour compared to the two. The experience, I think it didn't feel like to me there was much in that cell with us.
Oh, okay.
I did feel like as the tour went on, we did go into the morgue, like Meryl said, and there's things with Shepton Mallet prison. It's set up a bit like a museum. So there's like mannequins in certain cells, and on the morgue, there's a morgue table. So so obviously not real dead body on there. There's a morgue table, and I was quite tall. I can lean over and I put the cat ball, and there's a teddy bear they also had, which is touch sensitive. So the parts on the teddy bear light up, like his eyes and his hands. And we put that on the table with the dead body. And so Sharon was asking questions, and then the ball would light up again on the morgue table. And this is the original morgue from Shepton Mallet prison. Mm. So,
or the teddy would light
and
up.
And the teddy would light up. And Sharon thought it was a child as well, because she said, oh, if you show us your hair, you can keep the ball. And yeah, so we left the ball there on the morgue table.
That's interesting. You see, that this is something where I would want to investigate without the tools, because sometimes too much technology is a bad thing. And you just need a digital recorder and a little bit of guts and courage and just see what happens. And your feelings. So that's the biggest thing when you do haunted walkthroughs. You have to sometimes go by your feelings, what you're feeling. Like Meryl said, she felt pins and needles all of a sudden. And sometimes it's even you getting overly emotional for no reason at all. You might just feel angry, or like you're ready to cry, or you need a freaking hug, you know. So how were your feelings throughout the tour?
For me, I was just normal feeling, really, just calm and like my normal robot self.
I was more like just taking in on the first tour, just the experience of it and being in a prison. I didn't feel like I had any exaggerated feelings from any spirits or energies that might have been there from the first tour, but the whole experience and constantly asking myself questions about what was happening was quite exhilarating.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like my emotions or my energies personally were changed by any spirits or other external energies that might have been there.
Okay. So you were always in control and not exaggerating on stuff. Cause there's some people they exaggerate a little bit too much for my
guess.
But it also sounds like they have the prison set up for not necessarily just to experience ghosts, but kind of like an entertaining thing when you have the mannequins in a morgue and stuff like that, because that creates that image.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of fiddles with your head a little bit.
Very much so.
Yeah, they have the props at that one, didn't they? A few props.
Which, I mean, I'm not against props or anything like that, but at the same time, you know, let's give them a proper experience. They should have told one of you the lie on the table.
oh my God.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done.
That would have been great. Yeah, yeah.
That would have been an experience. I think I would have been too scared to, but
I'd do it. I was game for anything apart from the Ouija board. I'd go off. What I found on both tours, I was going off by myself. I'd walk away from the group and I was happy to just go off by myself, or if they were doing a table tip in or any of these sort of things, I'd be just walking off by myself into cells and asking questions and seeing if anything would happen quite often by myself, especially on the first one. Then that happened a lot on the second one as well.
Okay. And hello, Nick, and hello, Morningstar. Welcome. So thank you guys for dropping by, hanging out with us, hearing a couple of folks talk about their haunted tour experience. I can't say your haunted experience exactly, because unless something followed you home, then oh boy.
Yet we haven't got to Dorchester yet.
Okay, so let's jump into what would you rate your experience on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest? What would you
are we talking about paranormal rating or just the fun,
the overall experience?
Of just Schepter Mallet?
Yeah, of just the Schepter Mallet first.
Don't know.
Eight.
Maybe. Oh, really? Eight?
Seven.
Well, no, you can't double back. You said eight. That came
eight.
Out
first. Eight. They're both really good. So eight.
No.
I was going to say, maybe six or seven.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking because I didn't see a ghost.
No. Okay.
That would be a 10.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just about the whole experience.
Okay.
Oh, well, I loved the experience. I'd give it a 10 for enjoying it.
Okay. Yeah. But on the paranormal side, you give it a 6. Wow.
Paranormal side for Schepter Mallet, I'd give it 6.
6. Okay. Honestly,
but the whole experience with most haunted and Sharon, who ran the tour, and Pierce, the whole thing there and how they ran it and the vibes of everyone who was with the group and being with two of our good friends, John and Roxy as well, was the whole just the experience of doing something completely new we've never done. 8. I was like, this is brilliant.
I'd give that a 10.
Yeah, 10 even. That was such a great story. Okay. Paranormal side of things was 6, probably.
Now, in their defense, when it comes to the paranormal, ghosts, spirit, demons, angels, whatever you want to call them, they work on their time. So, you know, you can't really
They're not like things up.
Out of curiosity, was anyone trying to provoke?
Yes.
Anything? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So someone asked Sharon, she's the tour leader, to provoke them, and she was like, "Come on, then, you pussies!"
Really shouting her head off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you know I'm the boss around here? I'm the top dog. Yeah. She was saying,
"Let's see her, you pussy." She was shouting.
Yeah. If you think you're so tough, come and show yourself. She's really shouting. It made me jump.
Yeah, I'm not big on provocation, but sometimes it does get the job done. Although it also will sometimes lead to a scratch or two or some shadow show.
We didn't have that, but that would be interesting.
Cool.
That is great. That is funny. Okay, so now let's go to Dorchester. And so, this place, it's pretty old. Well, the land itself is old, from the 1100s. And I think the prison came about in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And it closed down in 2014. Yeah, from the 1800s to 2014, dates back to the 1100s. And yeah, this one, I was watching a special called, what is it? Most Haunted But Unseen. So it's Most Haunted, but it's the little bonus stuff, I guess. And guy was by himself doing things. And
it's Carl and Stewart from Most Haunted. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're the main hosts.
Okay.
Of the show with a vet. Yeah.
And just very interesting. And this is the one where, and both, what's that name again? Schepter Mallet. There we go. Shepton Mallet. Again, I'm just going to call it Ricky. Ricky Prison and George Prison over here. They both share something in common with two women who murdered their husbands, oddly enough, and both of them just so happened to be up for execution. But in Dorchester, oh shoot, I messed up, didn't I? Oh, I forgot the
white ladies in Schepter Mallet.
Yeah, the white ladies in Schepter Mallet. Oh, well, we're going to have to come back for a part two and we'll discuss her. But in this one, they believe the woman's name is Martha Brown, and she's supposed to be one of the most active spirits there. She killed her husband and she was hanged at the gallows, which are now a parking lot, which I think is interesting. So just, I'm going to hand it to you to take us from there. From the parking lot, out of curiosity, did you feel anything?
Well, no. Okay. Not in the parking lot.
Darn it.
But
I never went to the parking
lot. No, we didn't. No.
She sort of moved the car and I waited for the guy.
Yeah, not that. So this one, so we were buzzing off the Schepter Mallet first experience. Just the overall experience was great. Mel and me decided, let's go again to Dorchester. It's 45 minutes from our house. Let's go. So we went to this one, no John and Roxy this time, and went into the big, they called it the birdcage of Dorchester Prison. It's just a giant building with a big, huge, basically it's like a giant birdcage. And
it's like from Mad Max.
Yeah, it was. I made sure I got a K2, one of the K2 readers, you know, the electromagnet. Everyone's phone's off. There's no electric on. It's pitch black. And we're in this birdcage. There's probably 20 people there, 30 people. I'm not sure. As soon as I was given the K2, my one is going crazy straight away.
Yeah, straight away, the whole time.
Instant, going up. I'm backing off from people, standing back. It's going off. Other people who have got these K2s are coming near me. Theirs are going off. I'm swapping the K2 readers. Mine's going off.
Yeah, only the one you hold.
Only the one I was holding was going off.
Uh-oh.
So I'm back. So basically, then the group splits again, and we went off with Sharon again. We're in this birdcage area and she's doing calls out. And the whole time, again, my K2 is going off. And I'm feeling, right, in this birdcage area, there's a big corridor where we walk through. And I'm feeling like cold right in front of me. I'm holding my hand out. Holding my hand out like this with the K2 in my hand. And I'm feeling like cold here. And my K2 is just going off. And I'm just feeling like there's a presence. Anytime anyone came near me, like I said, theirs would go off. So the tours goes through the birdcage area up these stairs. And again, I'm doing the thing like I was doing at Schepter Mallet, just hanging back from everyone. And as we go up to the second row of stairs, as we're going up the stairs, I'm feeling like there's a presence with me the whole time. I'm feeling like something's with me. My knee and my leg is shaking. Like, I've got the shakes all down my knee, and I don't feel the cold at all. I mean, I work outside all the time, so I'm not a cold person. So my knee's all shaking. I'm feeling all this cold presence. Sharon and the group are at the second floor, and we're trying to call out, and I'm still hanging back, and my K2's going off crazy. And I'm asking a few questions as I'm walking upstairs, like, oh, nice to meet you. Please come up with me and please follow me. And it did feel like something was following me up the stairs. And as the group walked into the chapel of Dorchester Prison, I said to Sharon, can I hang back? So I hung back, and I felt like I was talking. So I was asking questions, and the K2 was going off. Say, are you, I felt like it was a female. And it was just very responsive to me. And Sharon was saying she felt like the spirit or energy had latched onto me. Because anytime the group came back to just me, it wouldn't go off. But it was 100% going off with me the whole time. It was really weird. But I really felt like something was there. And this went on for about an hour and a half, didn't it? I think the first part of this whole tour. And again, I'm just hanging back the whole time. The whole other group, I mean, I was staying back from you, wasn't I? You were just with the group.
Yeah.
So I really felt like I was just experiencing something. It was really quite strange, Mel, actually, to be fair, to feel the energy there, that something was there. My knee was shaking. And again, like I said, I don't feel the cold. So it was quite a thing. I really felt like something was following me, and it latched onto me. That's what Sharon said. More stuff still to come. What do you think about that?
I think something latched on to, well, evidently something liked your energy. I'm curious, did you feel any weight on you at all?
Not on me, no. I just felt like it. I felt like it was a nice presence. It wasn't a horrible one.
Do you think it was male or female?
Female.
Female. Oh, that's why. Okay.
Well, of course.
Might have been good old Martha.
Can't blame the ghost, mate.
Yeah. Meryl's got some competition now.
Oh, yeah. You're going to make me jealous now.
But that's so interesting, because sometimes that it happens, but not usually like that, where it's just like, boom, instant.
It was instant. Yeah. So we got the K2, mate. It was like, bang. And everyone, like I said, there's five or six other K2s. People come near me. Theirs would be going off. When they walked away from me, it wasn't going off. All my electrics was off. No phone.
Yeah. And
completely pitch blank.
And you felt that, yeah, it wasn't harmful, didn't want to scare you, and it just took to you for whatever reason. Maybe it's because you do work outdoors, and you're honestly a really kind guy, you know.
From Dorset, so. I was actually from the county where it is. I mean, I'm local-ish.
A local boy.
That's so interesting. And what makes it even more interesting, you weren't scared.
No.
I mean, maybe slightly like, confused and what the heck is this, but
no, I felt like I was talking to someone. Yeah, not okay. Scared.
So that's even great. So did you feel like you were supposed to speak to this we'll just say spirit, for lack of a better word?
I felt disappointed when other people would come and try and because I felt like when other people came or I had to do other stuff, it would go. Is when I was by myself walking through.
Yeah, it really took
to you. I really felt like it would be scared off by other people.
Yeah, it really took to you.
Mm.
So,
and it took a bit of working to go back to the spot. So, come on, come back. And then it would start going off again and talking to me.
That's so interesting. Oh, I wish you had a digital recorder.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna take a GoPro chest cam next time, something like that.
That would be good. Just something where you could record that and just listen to feedback and just try to figure it out. Because I'm pretty sure you would have picked up something. What about you, Meryl? Did anything latch on to you like Lawrence, or they were just like, eh?
No, I don't think they were bothered about me, actually. I didn't experience anything personally to me. I was more of a witness of seeing stuff happen with other people.
Now, how was Lawrence looking, actually, while this was happening? Did he have a blank expression? Did he, like, look like himself? Like, how did he look?
And to be honest, it's pitch black.
Oh, that's so right. Like, well, that's right. I forgot. You can't see anything.
Yeah. And a lot of the time I was with the main group and he was on his own as well.
Yeah,
so
you definitely said, forget you.
He ditched me.
Well, you were with the group. I was one by myself with the ghost.
Yeah.
Like following everyone, like, yeah, safety in numbers. This guy over here, dark, can't see nothing. What if you would have gotten lost, man?
Oh, yeah. Nah, I don't know.
Still be there today.
It was a real amazing experience, Mel. Yeah. That first I really, it gets even more stuff happens, so stay tuned. That's not the end of it, guys. But man, like that really felt like something was following me, and it was quite a, compared to Shepton Mallet, where you know the balls went off and there was, and also Dorchester had no fake morgues or mannequins. So it was just original.
They weren't trying to set a scene. It was
it was
literally, this is what it is, this is what you get, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I prefer that.
Yeah, me too. I prefer that.
You know, I like it. Now if it's a, you know, like a fun house or whatever, then yes, set something up and all that. But if it's not, then it's no need to set a scene. It's already scary since it's dark in there.
I don't think it was the most haunted people set up. I think it's Shepton Mallet Prison just has that. It's not the most haunted. They don't set that up. It's just already in there.
Yeah.
So
maybe they do like guided tours during
the day. Yeah, it's like day guided tours for the day. It's at Shepton Mallet. But Dorchester had none of that. So.
Okay. Nick has a question for you. So the following sensation was totally introspective. Was there anything physical?
My knee shaking, like I got the shakes in my knee, like, and all cold down my left side, which I don't, like I said, I don't feel the cold ever. And later on, I didn't feel the cold after this first experience. So we were there until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Oof, long time.
5 hours.
Okay. So Meryl, since you were with the tour, what was going on your end of the things? While he was by himself experiencing whatever, what was happening with you?
Well, at first we went into this, I think it was the chapel room, which was a really big room. And we were just standing in a big circle, and we put those balls that light up that cats play with in the middle. And then...
did they go off?
Yeah, and they did, I think. Yeah, they did. And then I think we had like a thump at one end of the room at one point as well. And then I think on that program on TV, Most Haunted, I think they go into that room as well, and there's a piano, and for them it played a key, but that didn't happen for us. I was hoping that would, that the piano would go off.
To bring your guitar and jam out. Honestly, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if it would be possible or not, but the next haunted location you go to, I'm so curious to see what would happen if you were to play music.
Oh, I never thought of that before.
Because, you know, music, that harmonious vibration, it can translate over. It's the vibrations that allows the communication to happen. And if you could find the right tone, the right melody, you can definitely stir up something.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was just wondering to myself, like, oh, they're musicians. They know how to do it. Ah. But I don't know if, you know, the facilities would let that happen or anything, but it would be.
I think maybe if you're more of a private tour, because these are more open to the public, like limit their amount of tickets. So maybe if I think they do some sort of private tours there. And I'd love to, especially at Dorchester after this experience that continues on, like what, to be able to go back and investigate more and see if the spirit comes back and talks to me.
Yeah. And Simona is saying real quick, Mel, yeah, but you would not be able to sense their energy if there is sound or distinguish their vibration. Well, I'm more so talking about after playing the music, not during, because I know, you know, you're not going to really pick up something, but after, to see if it stirs up something. Because I remember it was some experimentation that some folks did, some paranormal investigators, and they put on a theatrical play and they caught something that said, like, good job or something like that, you know. And I'm just wondering, if, you know, maybe they want some entertainment if they're stuck there or whatnot.
Yeah, that's a good point. And different frequencies can affect different parts of your brain as well when it comes to sound. Like certain frequencies can make you feel more tired and or relaxed, can't it? Or some can make you feel more like, can, you know, build your serotonin levels and make you feel more energized. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something to tap into as well with frequencies.
Yeah.
Oh, and Simona says she might try it. So yeah, if you do, mm-hmm. let me know how it goes. Simona and Stephanie, they go on ghost tours and
Ooh.
They go into cemeteries and all of that.
Bath, this one, I would definitely want to take some to record something, just leave it running like a GoPro on my chest or just something where it's not, so I don't have to think about it and it's just recording the whole time.
Yeah.
Definitely like to do it. Yeah, as the tour continued, Mel, we went down into the basement of the prison. I think that was me, Meryl, Sharon, the tour host, and three or four other people. Mm-hmm. And we were down there for about 20, 30 minutes. And it was very scary. It was like a very dark and dingy place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pitch black. And we thought we heard stones being thrown, but we weren't too sure. Mm. And then we tried the glass again with the cat ball on a table to see if we get the spirit to move it. And this one, as opposed to the one at Shepton Mallet, I felt like I did it. I had my finger over it. I wasn't touching it. If this is the microphone, it was like, just if you're looking on the video version, my finger was just above it like this. I wasn't touching it. And this glass was 100% moving. And there's no way we could have rehearsed. Like, and again, the glass would only move if the lady who was with us asked the question, not Sharon, there was another girl. If she asked questions, the glass would move. And it had a cat ball underneath it. And it was moving quite fast, actually.
Yeah, like really. Quite,
and I wasn't touching it. Dude, I wasn't touching it, and it was moving. I just had my finger over it, and even when we all pulled our fingers away, and there was only one person on it, it still moved by itself.
Wow! So,
which I found interesting. I wasn't scared.
Yeah. Again, what was going through your head at that moment, seeing this?
Cool. And the Ghostbusters theme tune.
For me, it's like. for me it's like I believe it, but it's like overwhelming, so it feels unbelievable, but I do believe it.
I just trying to find logic to it. I was thinking about that. There's four, me, three other people, these three people know each other, but no way we could have rehearsed moving this glass by itself.
It's a
heavy shot glass. There's no way we could have planned the movements at all. So I found that really interesting how it, and I wasn't touching it again. And then we tried it afterwards, but I tried to push it by ourselves. And yeah, it was 100% moving by itself. And again, I wasn't touching it, just finger over the top. And it was just, and we didn't have much energies happen until that moment, actually, in the basement.
Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting.
We did another one, didn't we? We went to the original prison reception where Sharon had her torch and she turned it to, you know, those ones you can just turn it and then you turn it up tight and it turns on. Mm-hmm. She turned it up right to the limit of being on and left it up against the wall and was asking questions, and the torch was turning on and turning off and turning on and turning off. So that was quite interesting. But again, I didn't feel like any bad spirits or anything with that. I just felt, well, what is this?
What is it?
It's interesting because you would think, since it was a prison and, you know, they house some pretty nasty people, like you would feel something aggressive and just ready to bite your head off. But no, everything was really, really cool. And just, wait a second. You gave a look. maybe let me go back here. Maybe it wasn't so cool.
I haven't said what happened yet, Mal. Still more stuff.
Okay,
more stuff,
let's so. Continue on. What's going on?
So, then after we come out of the basement, wasn't the tour kind of finishes, a lot of people start going home, but they do give you like 1 hour of free time if you want to walk around.
Yeah, just by yourself.
By yourself around the whole prison, UKIS, which is quite cool actually. So I took some K2s again and the cat balls, and Marilyn, I thought, let's go find that spirit we found at the start. Because also through the whole tour, of course, when this first experience happened with the K2 going off and where I really felt the presence and the cold, the rest of the tour, my K2 wasn't going off at all. And I had the same one. So that's quite interesting, I thought. Like, my thing wasn't going off at all. So that spirit had definitely left me. And I felt like I wasn't a presence there either. So for the last final tour round, we were walking around and I had the K2. And we said, let's go try and find the spirit that was we found at the start. Mm-hmm. Walking around. And we went into all prison cells and for ages we were trying to find out, I was calling out,
yeah,
and nothing was really happening, all in the same places. So I thought we'd go right to the top of this birdcage area, and I think that's the same bit on the Most Haunted episode you saw where Carl heard steps and a prison door slammed.
Yeah.
Maybe. So I was up there and we're at the far furthest away point at the top of this birdcage area. My K2's going off, starts going off again. I go, oh, I feel like we've maybe found the same spirit again. We're in a bit of a, we've another floor up and we're a bit further down the corridor. My K2's going off and there's a metal sink right in front of us. I'm standing right over it. And I said, oh, Meryl, and we were asking questions. And the tour finishes at 2 o'clock and it's 1:45 in the morning. You know, something like that. K2's going off. So I'm asking questions and it's still going off. I saw this metal sink. I said to the man, and I went up to the ghost, oh, if you're here, please copy me on this metal sink. And I went, donk, donk. You can imagine what a metal sink would cut, would, yeah, what noise it would make, wouldn't you? Quite loud. And it was like, it was, you know, my waist height, this high one. No, no joke, Mel. It went donk, donk. I did it. And then maybe 45 seconds later, 30 seconds went donk, donk back. I shit.
Really loud.
I shit myself.
Oh, wow.
I was so scared.
It's the same timing.
Literally exactly the same time. It's like donk, donk.
Okay, there's that fear. All right.
And it was like donk, donk. And wow. Dude, I couldn't believe it that it happened. And it felt like a different presence. Maybe it was because I got scared because it was, you know, the shock of the sick. And you know when they do these, when on the ghost hunt programs, they ask the room to one for yes, two for no, and it's just a thud on a wall.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, imagine it, guys watching and listening. I was standing over a metal sink. Imagine that noise of donk, donk, how loud it was. It wasn't a wall far away. It was I was right above it.
So it must have been like right standing next to you.
Right next to me. Yeah, the K2's here. The K2's here, sort of to my right. And the sink's here. And I went donk, donk with my finger. And the sink done it back. I was so scared.
That is...
I couldn't believe it. And it was lit. And then the trouble was, this is like 1:50 in the morning. And then that's where you got to get out. The prison closes it too. And they're calling you out. So it happened. And we can't investigate anymore.
Yeah, we had to start going.
We were back in our car by 2 o'clock in the morning. So like I was still like
yeah, it gets you on a high and your brain's going a million miles an hour. That's amazing.
It was real. It definitely happened. 100% the sink knocked back.
Okay, so Nick has a question, but I don't think you can actually answer this considering, you know, this is literally your first step into things, but maybe Simona or Stephanie can answer in your stead, but Nick is asking, what is the distinction between demonic forces versus spirits of the deceased? To what do you think this experience is attributed? So it's okay if you can't answer that. Yeah. So,
I mean, I never felt threatened. I don't think it's demonic, but I'm no expert. Because can't demons disguise themselves as being good?
Yeah, but with the demon thing, it's a lot of it's misunderstood and a lot of it is our own fears projected outwardly and we're looking at it back. I mean, because look, if you say something is the big bad and you're scared of it, then that's how it's going to appear to you. Simple as that. Like, okay, you think I'm bad, so here I am. I'm the bad guy. You know, Scott Hall, I'm the bad guy. You know?
I guess nothing's black and white, really. Yeah, so
no, it isn't. It's a gray unfortunately area. It's no simple answer. It would be nice, but it wouldn't be as fun.
I don't know, because maybe it's a shock of the sink making the banging back, but I feel like the glass experience was just, wow, this is amazing. I wasn't feeling scared or anything for that one, but the sink, I felt like it was so shocking. It affected me for about 2 days later.
Wow.
Just telling everyone.
I couldn't believe it, Mel. It honestly affected me for 2 days
but
afterwards.
Did it feel threatening or not? Or can you not tell?
I think it did feel different to the first one that followed me at the start.
Like
it wasn't the same person.
Nice, yeah. Maybe.
No, it wasn't. That it felt like someone was trying to rather than communicate with me. It felt like someone was trying to shit me up.
Yeah, he was trying to intimidate you, like, yeah.
Trying to intimidate, but that bang, it was a loud bang. It wasn't nice. It was,
yeah, it was, you know. I'm here. But at the same time, we have to see it like this as well. We don't know how much energy is required for them to communicate with us. And so that loud bang or whatever, that could just be them like, see, I'm trying just to get your attention so you can know I'm not alone. Because sometimes when spirit yells, it's just so you can hear them. It's not trying to be threatening or to scare you half to death. It's so you can hear them.
Yeah. And possibly asking for it to do that,
yeah,
as well.
You know, so you're asking for it and it's like, okay, here it is. This is what I can do. This is the only way I can do it. You know, so take that into consideration as well.
I found when I was going around asking questions, I tried to just be like I was talking to the spirits rather than asking them to.
Yeah, you're not commanding them.
You're being respectful for us. Yeah,
yeah.
Hello, nice to meet you. Things like that, you know. Yeah, and some people were doing that as well, but some people I found weren't doing that so much.
Yeah, some of them watched too much Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
Okay, so Eddie says, Lawrence, how about trying to do it live somewhere, but with Ghostbusters gear, and see if something happens?
Wow. You say, John, who came with us as Sheptomance, actually got a proton pack. So I did say to him about bringing it, but he said it's really heavy. You know, weighs a ton to walk around the prison with that on.
That would be funny.
It would be funny to set up like that, yeah.
That would be great. And I don't think it's picking up on Mike, but the wind just started to pick up over here and it's howling. So that's beautiful.
Ooh. It's been windy here as well.
But I definitely want to go to Dorchester Prison again and try and connect to that spirit again. I'm going to go this year. There's a few options to go with other tours. Well, we've gone Most Haunted and the other and a few others. I just really want to go again. I've got a lot of date clashes with the tour we do. So I've got to try and hopefully I just really want to go and try and experience, see if I can connect with that spirit again. I feel like I had a real personal experience at Dorchester, as opposed to the other ones were just an overall experience with a group of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you had an experience. And yeah. What about you, Meryl?
Yeah, I definitely want to do it again. I just worry in case like anything follows us home. And I don't know if it has or not, because a few things have happened, but it could just be coincidence. Like, you probably think it's just, it could be, I don't know. But like, first of all, after Shepton Mallet, I got ill, but it was just a cold. And then after Dorchester, you got ill.
Well, it's just because there's all the people worse there. Cold.
But then our washing machine broke. Oh. And then yesterday, we've got like a pin board with like some like bills pinned onto it on the back of a door. And one just came flying off on the floor, even though it was pinned in really hard. And I keep seeing like, it looks like an orb, but it's black.
Probably dust, Meryl, from the cat.
I don't know. But I've never seen it before. But it keeps happening since going on these things. And my eye will just catch it, like sort of seeing it, and it just disappears. And it happens every day, like a little black dot thing.
That's interesting. I love Lawrence. Like, oh, it's just dust. It's dandruff from the cat. Yeah. Just, you know, just automatically.
It could be.
I never heard of black dust before.
Yeah, it's like a black round dot I see. It's almost like a fly, but then it's just not, but it's not a
it's
fly.
It's not now.
It's just
on the camera.
More floaty, and then it just disappears. But the other night, what was weird as well, so I was half awake. I was caught kind of waking up a bit in the middle of the night, and I could smell like a sweet smell, not a smell I've ever smelt before. It's like a sweet perfume that I've never smelt. And I was thinking, what's this sweet smell? And then I woke right up, and then I could still smell it for a couple of seconds, and then it went. So I don't, there's lots of weird little things.
That's really interesting, because the lady in white at Ricky Prison,
Shepton Mallet.
Thank you. It said that she wears a perfume, like people smell a sweet perfume.
I actually didn't know that.
So that's
interesting. Imagine she's followed us back.
I don't think so. She's been there for years, man.
No, she's too famous.
She's
she
probably,
won't
she's
come
probably
here.
Getting paid because she's done the adverts on the website.
Maybe she was just visiting us.
Yeah, maybe.
And then went back.
And Tez, this is funny, he says that our timer has just turned our living room lights off as Merle said that and his girlfriend jumped. So there we go.
That's weird.
It's weird. The timer though, Merle, it's not weird.
Oh, I suppose.
I mean, it's just the timing of it.
Overall, yeah, Mel, like I do, all jokes aside, and you know, whatever, you know, I was just dust from the cat. But like, I do feel like there, I experienced a full on ghost presence at Dorchester Prison. I 100% will stand by that. I experienced the ghost presence or spirit or an energy that wasn't of the normal plane of our existence. That makes sense. Something else. There was another energy there that isn't human.
Yeah.
That is it not human? I don't know. Don't know how you phrase it.
Yeah, we don't know if it's human or
maybe it's art used to be human.
We'll just say something from the beyond.
Yes.
You know, that's the best way of putting it. Something from the beyond. But I'm very curious as to why you though, versus
I'm such a nice guy, I think.
But I'm nice.
I'm so charismatic. The ghost could just love me. So, I'm the Peter Venkman of England.
Of England.
I just think that's so interesting. Of all people, why you? What did you do that stood out? And here's something that you should do as well. Since you said that you took the clear quartz and copper, go without it and see what happens.
But they only come about two or three times a year. So
you don't want to waste the opportunity.
Well, you know, you got to experiment, though. You got to figure
it out. Oh, I suppose we could leave it in our bag. They split it into two halves, so we could do the first half without the second half with.
Okay. Yeah, because you put your bag in this sort of, like, other area, base area, you know, like you have a break in half time. Yeah, we could leave it there, maybe.
I don't know what it was, though, honestly. I don't know why. I was very open to it, I guess, feeling the energy. I feel like I can always feel energy from people as well. I'm quite empathic, I feel.
But people can absorb energy from other people.
So maybe I'll say empathic to ghosts. I am empathic to ghosts. You've just decided.
So not only do you have the most haunted home in England, or the world, excuse me.
In Hamworthy.
In the world.
You are now empathic to ghosts, so just happens.
And you're the Peter Venkman of England.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, so Merle, how do you feel about that? Huh?
There's no words.
Now, what were your expectations going to these places versus the reality? Like, what did you expect and what was the reality?
Well, for me, I didn't expect as much to happen as what did happen. So I was pleasantly surprised. I expected some stuff to happen, but yeah, more happened than I thought would. So yeah, what about you?
I think for Shepton Mallet, I expected what happened is what I semi expected as such. It was, you know, I was questioning whether a lot of it was theatre of the mind. For Dorchester, where I got the personal experience of the ghost, I was blown away by it. That will be something I'll remember for the rest of my life. And I want to try and experience it again and see if that same spirit is there and latches onto me again somehow. I want to go back and try and speak to that spirit again. That was a massive, I feel like that was huge. That knocking on that sink, and I feel very disappointed that we couldn't follow it up. We had to leave because that was, and no one else saw it. It was just us. So I'm definitely going to take some form of recorder there. I don't have to think about it, just leave it running the whole time because it was nuts.
Life-changing. Would you say it was life-changing?
Yes.
It changed your whole perspective on things, I suppose, hasn't it? That kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, it has. I've realised I'm empathic to ghosts.
Yes.
But I've also just... No, it's something happened. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. So I want to know more. It's addictive. It's like getting a tattoo. You won't get one, you want another one. Same sort of thing.
So I'm curious what places you're going to end up going to, because I have a feeling it's going to be more and more. And you know, are you going to experiment with spirit boards now and pendulums, tarot cards? Are you going to turn into a rebel here? What's happening?
Well, I'm definitely, because we, like I said at the start of the show, like Meryl and me play in a show called Don't Stop Believing. It's a theatre show around the UK. And in the UK, we've got loads of really old theatres. I've played in buildings that are built in like 1850. Like in Brighton, the Royal Theatre, and some really old ones. So I'm going to get a K2 reader and take it to some of these theatres. So we do have a few hours to kill, but it won't be late at night. That's the problem. So maybe the ghosts won't come out to talk to me.
I don't think the timing matters too much, only because, I mean, they're there. It's just at night, from a investigative perspective, the light is down and you might be able to catch more on camera or something like that. It's quiet. It's not business hours, you know? So I don't think the time matters too much unless you're trying to really get some form of evidence and just proof. But if you're just, you know, trying
to see if something's there and something happens with an hour to kill before a show. But I definitely want to go back to Dorchester sooner than the better. Yeah. I don't want to try and connect with that spirit. And there's another place near here called Merley House, which is very close to us in Wimborne, which is about 10, 15 minutes from my house. I want to go there. Mm-hmm. Salisbury. Just Salisbury, where Stonehenge is. Stonehenge. It's near there. So we've got Salisbury and Stonehenge. You can go do that. It'd be interesting to take a K2 to Stonehenge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I've always been confused about Stonehenge. Like, what is this place? What is going on here? Who built it? Why is it here? You know,
it's from Spinal Tap, Mel.
Okay, we'll go with that. No, but seriously, that's always this one of those weird places where it's like, what was the purpose of this? So
yeah, but there's one in Salisbury at the Royal Air Force. I don't know, it's a museum. There's one there, like a ghost hunt there. I'm definitely going to do more. I definitely want to. They're really good fun. And the most haunted group who do them, the two we've done, refreshments are there. They're really nice. Everyone's really involved and they get you involved. They supply all the gear. Yeah. I highly recommend it. Just go experience it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to do any spirit boards though myself. just in case. Because I feel like I lack knowledge and confidence with it. And, you know, you don't know what you're inviting in, I suppose.
You definitely want to be cautious with that. You know, if you're not confident, stay away from it. You know, don't try to prove anything to yourself. And Stephanie said she checked out your channel, I'm assuming Voodoo Vegas, to see the paranormal vids if you had any. And it's your music and she loves it. She's going to be binge watching.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. But I would like to do more, though. I really want to do some more, like go and do some hunts and film stuff. I'm well into it.
Now,
it's very exciting.
Okay, so would you ever do a cemetery thing, just you two? Because I'm assuming you guys have public cemeteries.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah. So would you ever consider just you two and a recorder of some type, just going to a cemetery and trying to communicate, walking around, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I always thought that. Would ghosts hang around the cemetery? You know, if they're, you know, why are they hanging around there? Go back home.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Cold and horrible there.
Yeah, can it happen? I mean, I'd be up for trying. You know, there's one right near our house.
There is. Like, we've got a church across the road. There's cemeteries everywhere in England, Mel. Everywhere.
Yeah, so,
I mean, England is half cemeteries.
It'll be worth the shot, like, because sometimes things stay attached to their bodies and it's like, well, I don't want to move on for whatever reason. Or it's just a tether, maybe, that brings them back. I don't know.
We live near the beach. If we went to a cemetery, I'd be like, why are you hanging around here? Let's go to the beach. It's much nicer down there.
Well, you never know. Maybe they do. You got to ask them. See, that's why you got to go to the cemetery and ask them. Get an answer.
Why? Let's go to the beach.
But Stephanie and Simona, they go to cemeteries. Or, well, Stephanie does, for a fact. Maybe I think Simona does. But anyway, And but this is for witchcraft purposes as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah, but I think that would be cool. Oh, okay, Simona does do it. But I think that would be cool, and just kind of like taking those beginner steps into investigating, learning the do's and the don'ts, and building up your confidence even more, and learning how your body reacts to different things, because that's one of the biggest thing is our body reacting. Like you said, you had like your legs were shivering and shaking.
Yeah, I don't feel the cold at all, and I wasn't cold. That was like within the first hour and a half, 2 hours of that tour, and it went on for another 3 hours. I wasn't shivering the rest of the time. So it's when I had this first present. It was amazing. Honestly, all jokes aside, like, amazing. I want to go and experience it again. I mean, we've got this thing here. We've got all these little recorders. I mean, they've got this little Tascam thing. We just take it and put it in our pocket and leave it running and record, asking questions. And if you had knocks and things like that, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt to try and just to see what happens. Merle, did you do any shivering and shaking, or you were just kind of...
I was like, do-de-do. Except for the one time I had pins and needles mallet. But that was my, only time. So otherwise, actually, no, I'll tell you one thing. In Shepton Mallet, I'm the sort of person who always feels cold. And everyone was saying how cold they felt the whole night. But weirdly, I felt really warm the whole night. So that's really weird for me. My hands were hot and everything. I was really... nicely warm, and it was like really cold, you know, probably 5 degrees probably, or Fahrenheit. I don't know if it's Fahrenheit or degrees, but or Celsius, but it's cold.
I'm assuming that's Celsius, because if it was 5 degrees Fahrenheit, or
well, I don't know.
We'd be dead, bro.
Would we be dead?
Yeah,
would we?
Yes.
Yeah.
You'd be a ghost.
Okay, so the overall experience and the paranormal experience of freaking, darn it, what's the name? Dorchester. What do you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I feel like I've made a friend, so I want to go back. So I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I honestly feel like I've connected with something over there. I'll need to go back.
I'd probably give it an 8.
Oh, 10. Mine's 11. If it was out of 10, 11.
An 8? Okay. So maybe because Lawrence had just the more personal experience. But
everyone was saying I'm hogging the ghost. All the other people, they were like, they look like you. They're hogging around you.
Yeah. And hello, Paranormal Witch. Yeah, you are a bit late, but we're about to end, but that's okay. You showed up anyway, and hello to
hello,
you.
Paranormal Witch.
You know what? You get the good one, too.
Paranormal Witch, welcome to Unexplained Possibilities.
That was a maniacal laugh.
Yeah, man. It's really good.
Yeah, so don't bust that out too much. But only for
you should.
Questions.
You should talk like that all the time.
No.
You guys give it a shot, just for fun, since we're winding down.
I've got a cold. Hello, Baron. No, I'm rubbish. Hello, Paranormal Witch.
Hello, Paranormal Witch.
Hello. If it was high, Mel, you know, I'm quite a high singer. I could do high better. It's gone midnight here, so, and our neighbours would hear us.
Yeah,
and I can't control my voice. I'm tone deaf at singing and talking. I talk out of tune.
Yeah.
That's okay. Don't worry. I'm tone deaf, and I can't stand hearing my voice. So I'm just like, oh, shut it off.
You've got a great voice, Mel.
Yeah,
great.
I love your voice.
You're insane.
It's no, like, it's like vegan voice. Butter on a crumpet, your voice, Mel.
Yeah. I'm toasty. It's toasty.
You're going to make me want some toast now. But yeah, I think this is where we will end it. Do you guys have any upcoming things that you want to promote? Anything happening, going on?
Well, if anyone's in the UK, I'm on all the shows, and Meryl's on some of the shows. I tour called Don't Stop Believing, which is touring around near the UK theatre scene, playing songs like Summer of 69 and Living on a Prayer. All the songs you've heard loads of and you know. come and sing with us. We do that as a tour around all the theatres. It's good fun. And you can catch me on the Instagrams. Just search for Lawrence Case _. That'd be good. So I post stuff up there. And what's yours, Meryl?
Mine's Meryl. Well, my name's Meryl Hamilton, but I don't know what it is on Instagram.
Meryl _ Hamilton, I think.
I don't think it is.
I don't know.
It might be the Meryl Hamilton.
The Meryl Hamilton.
Well, yeah. Don't worry. Those links are or will be in the description below. So, also,
will Voodoo Vegas come to? Yeah, check out our band Voodoo Vegas as well. We've got loads of we've got 3 albums out. It's good. So, loads of good music. If you like rock music, we've Meryl's a guitarist. I'm the singer. And check that out. It's songs you haven't heard before, but they're really good.
Yeah,
check them out.
Definitely check out Voodoo Vegas. Like, no joke, good, great music. And check out, I want to say the YouTube channel is Meryl Mania. Is that the YouTube channel?
Oh, it used to be, but then it changed to Meryl Hamilton, I think.
Well,
Meryl Hamilton.
I think it's just my name, Meryl Hamilton. Yeah.
That link will also...
I can't remember if there's a number one after it or not. I don't know. You'll find it. There's probably not many channels called that. So.
That link will also be in the description if you want to learn how to play some pretty iconic tunes on guitar. So definitely check that out. She played the X-Men theme, all right? So that alone should do it.
Have you watched X-Men 97 yet, Mel?
I've seen a couple episodes. I actually like it.
It's really good,
they
isn't it?
They did Cyclops right. Cyclops,
they did. Cyclops the best. I mean, that was brilliant, wasn't it? It's the best you've ever seen Cyclops, that first episode. Check it out, guys. It's worth it if you haven't seen it.
And Lawrence put in Voodoo Vegas for you guys, so click on there, subscribe, listen to the music, enjoy, and say Unexplained sent you, because I want credit.
And if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you hit the like, subscribe on iTunes as well, give it 5 stars, all those good stuff, because it really helps Mel out and helps spread the word all around the Information Superhighway, because Mel's a great guy. This side, actually. Mel's a great guy, works really hard, and keeps supporting this man. He does great content, and he's such a nice guy as well.
Oh, thank you. So with that said, remember, guys, there are things that go wrong in the night. Go ahead and tell them. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.